This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batts with Beppe Severnini, whose new book is Italian Lessons, 50 Things We Know About Life Now. Beppe is a very prominent journalist and columnist in Italy. He writes for the Corriere della Sera, the courier of the week, of the day, of the moment. But he's assembled 50 lessons during the pandemic that Italy survived after a brutal entrance into it, because it was the first city, to my knowledge, reporting from New York, that was very hard hit and lacked the resources. Of course, there was no vaccine, but even the protocols had to be invented because it was so new. Here we are, more than 2 years into the third year, and the recovery is underway. However, the book is more than just the plunge into the depths and then the climb out of the depths. It is also about what it means to be Italian. And I always envy this because, of course, Beppe forgives me for being a Calvinist and a New Englander and a very dry observer of nature. Of course, I come from a north temperate zone, not the beauty of Italian sunshine. There are five F's to follow. This is English F's, English words F's. And we're going to go through them because they teach very quickly what it is to be Italian. The first is family and feuds. We'll do them together. How do they go together, Beppe?
Well, first of all, let's say that describing Italy, say, okay, I'm going to describe Italy using F words. People are going to be confused, but don't worry. There are different F words. You mentioned too, family and feud. Like family, it's of course very important. There have been books and movies and written about them. But it is true that the bad Italian family, it's been, if you look at a mafia movie, you see what a bad Italian family, a bad idea of, you know, do you do everything for your family, including killing someone? That's not the family I admire. But it is true that there is a good Italian family where people really help each other. I mean, just a small example. In Italy, it's perfectly normal for parents to lend money to their children to buy a house, to buy a car, to start a business, and they don't dream of asking them to sign some receipt or doing a proper loan. And in Northern Europe, it happens, but it's kind of unusual. In Italy, it's normal. And very often we live near each other. We used to live above my father. My son, who's now become a dad, and I've become a granddad of a lovely little girl called Agatha. And his flat is just above my office. So when he needs us, we're there. And that sort of arrangement in Italy, it doesn't take away your freedom, your individuality, there have been legends about the Italian mammoni unable to leave their house, their families. That happens too. But many of them stay at home because they don't find a job. But those who can leave, leave, but don't leave for the sake of leaving your family and you see them on Thanksgiving, which we don't have, or Christmas, which we do have. You actually enjoy seeing your family, your parents, your aunts, your grandfather, and they love seeing you. And trust me, I learned that in the last 5 weeks with Agatha. Grandparents can be extremely useful when they are handy. I know it happens in America too, but in Italy is the norm, the rule. Everybody does that. Family. You said feud. Let's say rivality. I mean, even there is a sentiment attached to your hometown, for instance, and the sense of feeling rivality, or can I say that in English?
Yes, yes. You have competition. I know everybody from Lombardia. Lombardia knows that it's the great producer and center of civilization. I know this. I'm sure that the people in the South might object, but I've been taught, Beppe, that always to start in Lombardia. Is that fair?
To start what in Lombardia?
To start thinking of Italy from Lombardia's point of view.
Yes, it is true that Lombardy is the engine of Italy in many ways. But to be honest, if Italy was just Lombardy, it would probably be wealthier but definitely more boring. I love to Italy to be what it is, like an amazing collection of fantastic talents, lunatics, and other things that you find in a country. I don't think countries should not, when countries are too homogeneous, they become boring. I traveled too much not to know that. I love America because they're so different.
Well, let's touch three other apps: fantasy, feelings, and fashion. Now, fantasy and feelings has to do with food, as I understand it. You do not overcook spaghetti, and you are very proud of your brassato. Did I say that correctly? Brassato?
Brassato and risotto. If you look at my 50 things we know about life now, there are a list. You can find them at the very beginning of the book. And it's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 1 to 50. And I don't remember, I don't have the book here in front of me, but there is one sort of halfway through about food. And he says that we know instinctively what is good and genuine. We just need to look at the pasta to know the competence about food and wine in Italy is so widespread and so ingrained, comes through family, living together, history, that Italians don't pretend they know about food. They actually do. And when you hear Italians talking about food, you see the passion and the extreme proficiency in this. And food is part of our life more so than in any country that I know, even more than France, if I may.
Fashion.
Sometimes it becomes an obsession.
Let's take the food and move into fashion. There seem to be examples here that all make common sense. Fresh products, simple preparation, short cooking, and this requires a puzzle. Few flavors. What does that mean? Very few flavors in your finished product?
Well, yes. We don't have many sauces. We use, because the food is so good in itself, we don't, French use more sauces than we do, for instance. And the number of Italian recipes is not huge. I mean, the Chinese have 5 or 10 times more recipes than we do have, but they even invented spaghetti, to be honest, the Chinese. But we taught the world how to eat spaghetti, al dente. The world likes to chew. And we realize that, for instance.
Italy also is Dolce Vita, which I know is a famous movie, but you very carefully say that Italy has not been a conqueror for 1,700 years. I deducted 1,700 from 21. That's the decline of the Roman Empire. So get over it, John. They're not Romans. However, Dolce Vita, what does that mean today coming out of the into the recovery, Beppe?
Well, Dolce Vita, it was the title of a famous movie, of course, means the sweet life. And it describes the kind of life the kind of lifestyle that many foreigners realize that doesn't only apply in Rome in the 1950s, but it applies to many places in Italy. Italy have this sense of enjoying life that they like to share with other people. And I noticed that the most impressive tourist attraction in Italy is actually the fact that people feel welcome. Because in Italy, as that's one another reason in my book, one of my 50, is in Italy, everywhere they look at you, in Italy they see you. They see you because you are an individual, for instance.
We also need to understand Italy from the point of view of cities. Because you divide cities into three categories: the poetic, not all cities, just this lot, poetic, narrative, and theatrical. We'll start with the narrative because that's Milan, Turin, Bari, and Palermo. What do you mean by narrative cities?
Narrative, it's not a coincidence. A lot of good novel comes from fiction and literature. I mean, some of the best Italian writers come from Turin or around there, like Pavese or Fenoglio, or Milan, like Gadda, or Sicily, like Pirandello and Verga, and many others. It seems that the life in those cities is like a plot ready to be described, or several plots. So in my fantasy, I'm a writer myself, I call them narrative cities. they are solid, sometimes tragic. A lot of history and stuff went through there. So they are like the stuff of books, of novels, if I may.
And the poetic cities, Genoa, on Cagliari, and Trieste, especially Trieste. Why? How is it a poetic city?
Well, I love all those three cities, and they are poetic city because they have to do more with, of course, they have long history as well, but they have to know that they are sort of linked to feelings. Like some of the best music in Italy comes from Genoa, for instance. Some of the best songwriter comes from Genoa. It's no coincidence. Some of the best writers and poet comes from Trieste. Take, I just made a name, Umberto Saba, for instance, and many others, because Trieste is magic. Interesting, all three cities, Trieste, Genoa, and Cagliari, they are port, they are on the sea, and they look south. I think that has to do, and so you have this, the importance and the fascination of, you know, the water looking south, and everything has to do with it. And my advice is, outside the our superstar, Rome and Florence and Venice, they are another league, of course. But if you want to visit a city, and you will thank me for this, that you love, it's Trieste. Trieste is the northeastern tip of Italy, and it's a great place. It's Italian, it's Slavic, it's German, is Catholic, is Jewish, is Orthodox, is everything in one city, and it's poetic, and it's got the mountains behind, and then the Adriatic Sea ends there. I love Trieste. I'm a great fan.
We're going to Rome when we come back. Beppe Severnini is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.